In our last time together, we addressed the matter of the Apostle Paul speaking of how we should live in a broken world. But in doing that, we come today to the matter in terms of not seeing the matter just of the risk in our society, but of our accountability. Now, any time we speak of accountability, none of us really run to that and say, oh yes, make me accountable, make me more accountable. Rather, we like to push those things away. The Apostle Paul is speaking in terms of this whole dynamic in these verses of 7, 8, and 9. Accountability. I remember meeting a young man who really, in the worst way, wanted to be free from responsibility and accountability to his parents. And so he was a young man, and he wanted to be free, and he wanted to push the boundaries out, and he wanted to finally be free because he felt his parents were too strict and they had too many responsibilities and rules over him. So he went and joined the military. He had no idea how lenient life had been for him. And then when he was in the military, I remember hearing his parents talk about him riding home at that point and talking about how glad he was for how easy he had it at home, because now he was in the military and, you know, life was very demanding and very difficult. Accountability is one of those things that in our society, the question is, who's going to rule me, or who's going to tell me that I have to do anything? Now, here in the United Kingdom, it seems that every move that we make is recorded on CCTV. So the other week, when the man came to do the servicing of the heaters here in the sanctuary, he parked on the street and he didn't have coins, he didn't have cash, and so he was going to do it over his phone, like it says on the little box, out of cash, do it over your phone. So he calls on the phone and he plugs it in, and the message comes back of telling his name, his license number, and telling exactly how much it would cost for his vehicle to be parked there for that period of time. He was utterly flabbergasted, because he said, I looked around, I didn't see any cameras any place, but he said, obviously they knew where I was and they knew who I was, and they even had his picture there. All those things from cameras that he didn't know about. Well, what is that? Anytime a society encounters a breakdown, there is a trade-off that in place of freedom comes the matter of accountability. And that accountability is an increased accountability that watches more and more. And so we want freedom, we want these varied things, yes. But in the process of that, that means that if you're going to have freedom, that it's traded off for an increased and enhanced accountability. Well, the Apostle Paul comes in terms of this matter of saying there needs to be this awareness that we are accountable and we need to be accountable. And so as we work through this, I want to work through the passage together with you. It is not simply in the United Kingdom at large, all over the world, there are various ministries who have had to come under a certain accountability. And so you have, in the United States, you have the ECFA, the Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability. Why did they do that? Well, because there were people that were going into ministry, stealing money, and people were giving it in good faith, trusting that all was okay, but there were no standards of accountability. And so you go into a church and you find out when were the books last audited? We looked at them quickly the other night before the annual church meeting. And then you come to find out, uh, so So all these things that the Apostle Paul is addressing don't come out of a vacuum. They come out of a necessity. Well, number one, what is accountability? It is our recognition that our work is more than our own. It is our recognition that our work is more than our own. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. The Apostle Paul is in a place called Antioch. And, we'll pick up in Acts 13, verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had prayed and fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. The first thing I'm underscoring is, it is a recognition, accountability is a recognition that our work is not our own. A person doesn't simply go out and engage in ministry and say, well, here, I'm going to simply do this and be an entrepreneur. No, there's an awareness of accountability, ultimately to the Holy Spirit, who sends us forth, but to the church that sends us out. And so here, it describes this matter in verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them out. Paul and Barnabas were not simply going off to do their own thing. They were doing so as accountably sent by their sending, by the Holy Ghost and by their sending church. Secondly, under that, what is it? It is our recognition that our work is more than our own. And secondly, we are accountable as stewards before God. We are accountable as stewards before God. Now turn with me to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. Galatians 1 and verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. The Apostle Paul said that his task was not simply to please people, to please men, that he was the servant of Christ, and that ultimately his accountability was to the Lord. Now, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, 11. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He underscores in this that we are accountable to God. Turn with me to chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Well, 3 through 5. Chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing of myself, yet am I not hereby justified, But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Again, the Apostle Paul underscores the matter of accountability. And he says, ultimately, we are accountable to God. Turn to one final reference in this regard, James chapter 3 and verse 1. James chapter 3 and verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation or the greater judgment. Those who are in a teaching responsibility are ultimately going to be responsible for what they have taught, and they will bear a stricter accountability, a stricter judgment. He uses the term, the King James translates it, a greater condemnation. It's a matter where those who teach will be held accountable for what they have taught. Now, additionally, accountability is that we are accountable to those who are in spiritual authority over us. We are accountable to those who are in spiritual authority over us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We are accountable to those in spiritual authority over us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 18. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in a spirit of meekness? The Apostle Paul said he's going to come and he's going to meet with the people of Corinth and those who had been speaking and they had everything together. He said there's going to be a time where you're going to be held accountable, and I'm going to come and I'm going to meet you face to face, and we're going to deal with this. We're going to talk about this. Further, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. I'll begin at verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. He says that we are to be accountable to those that have the authority spiritually over us, and that we are to obey them. Now again, those words and the call to obedience are very unpopular, most unpopular in our world today, and yet that is exactly what the Scripture calls us to. One other aspect of the accountability is that we are accountable to those who send us. We are accountable to those that send us. Turn now with me to Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 14, verses 24 through 28. Acts 14, 24 through 28. The Apostle Paul had gone on this mission in Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas had gone. But then they had a time where they were to return. So now we come back to Acts chapter 14, verse 24. And after they had passed through Pisidia they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they came down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, and from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Here was the matter where they had been sent out, but having been sent out, they came back and they gave a report back of what they had done. But notice, it wasn't that they just came and gave a 5-minute report or a 5-minute synopsis. They came back and they spent time so that the people knew who they were, knew who they were supporting, knew what was taking place in that regard. So number one, what is accountability? Number two, how does it work? Well, the worker sent out reports back on both the problems and the progress. So the reporter, the person that goes out to serve comes back to those that sent him or sent her, and they give a report of saying, here's what's happened, here's what the status is. Now last Sunday evening I made something of a report of that, of my encounter in Singapore, where we had Pastor Key wrote a letter this week and told about 19 meals in a few days. We didn't eat that many meals, but we did, we were taken out a number of times in Singapore, and I had no idea Jonathan kept emphasizing. He says, when you go to Singapore, you eat lots of good food, lots of good food. Well, I had no understanding what he was speaking about, but I did eat lots of good food there. But one thing that happened again and again was older people who had been in New Life Bible Presbyterian Church in London wanted to know what was happening, how you were doing. And they wanted to know what I was doing, and so on. There were those points of accountability. Even the one day, that my first Sunday, a young man comes to pick me up, and he introduced himself and told me that he was the son of Patrick Tan, Dr. Patrick Tan. My first thought was, Dr. Patrick Tan, there's a box with his name on it upstairs in a closet. I hope it's not still his things, or they'll be long out of date and out of due. May have to send them back with Sarah if they are. But the point was that again and again, there was an aspect of asking accountability. Well, there's that element of feedback. Now, the surest way to kill God's work is to remove accountability for those that are investing in the ministry. If there's no sense of those that are helping, if there's no way of feeding back to them and saying back to them, here's what the Lord is doing, and here are the areas that you can be praying for, and if it's all just a matter of you send money, then there's a loss of interest and a loss of relationship that takes place in those things. The missionary is sent out by the local church to serve as a representative of that church in the other place. Paul had never been to Colossae, and yet he has a ministry to them, and he's writing to them, and he sends these people to report to them in terms of the status of the work and what he has been doing. As Paul labored, and as the missionary labors, as the one who is sent out labors, there's this matter of them being sustained, and then the point of saying, and here's what's happening. So the report comes back. It is in that way that the individual in the local assembly, the local church, who gives money to help to support missions, is able to make a difference for eternity. But if you have a sense that saying there's no feedback, there's no sense of hey, this is what's happening and this is how things are progressing or here are what the areas of need are, then that breaks down. Now, let me just ask you, how many of you get excited about paying that VAT here in the United Kingdom? How many of you really get excited about paying VAT, or value added tax? One person gets excited about that. Now, why is it that you don't get excited about paying VAT? And she doesn't pay, her mom pays, okay? But why is it you don't get excited about paying VAT? Well, it's because you say, I have to put the money out, a value added tax, but I have no sense of what's happening to that money or where it's being used or how it's being used. I have no participation in that. Likewise, in the local assembly, when you give support, you want to know what's happening with it. And so that's the matter of accountability, of the feedback. Well, working further, then I ask the third question, why is it necessary? Why is it necessary? Well, the first thing that I would point out is because of the subtlety of sin. It is necessary to have accountability and this feedback because of the subtlety of sin. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. For with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, I'll stop at that point in the reading, but you see, he talks about this matter of the subtlety of sin and the hardness of the heart. So a person goes and they see some area of sin and they say, well, you know, it's not going to affect me. I'll be okay with that. No, I after all, look at me. I know who I am. I'll never be tempted in that area. I was struck by that idea as I picked up the newspaper on Tuesday evening. Actually, I guess it was Wednesday morning. I picked up the Tuesday evening newspaper. And here it talks about an adultery website may have to scrap 130 million pounds of the London flotation after hackers access data. And then it has a picture that was featured in the newspaper of a woman with a wedding ring on and a finger over her lips of, shh, keep it quiet, but it's Ashley Madison and it's an adultery website in terms of people having affairs. Well, all of a sudden, this secret website, people are outraged that they have lost their security, and so here's the big thing on the editorial page about now cheaters are really paying the price for adultery. What's going on? Well, of course, somebody said, This is a secure site. You can give your information and nobody will ever find out about it. And nobody will find out about what you're doing on the side. Keep it quiet. Keep it quiet. But God in His mercy has exposed a bunch of people in the city of London and throughout, because it's not simply limited to London, it's something that's being done far and wide. God has exposed it because, as the Old Testament scripture says, be sure your sin will find you out. But those people who entered into adulterous relationships did not enter in saying, oh, I think I'm going to get caught. Nor, as Timothy Keller made the statement, he said, no people get into bed and say, oh my, I wonder if what we're doing is right in an adulterous relationship. No. There is the awareness that they are doing something, but the subtlety of sin that the writer of Hebrews talks about, lest the subtlety of sin come in, creeping in, creeping in, creeping in, and take a person over. And he says, in order to ward against that, we have to be accountable. There has to be that element of accountability. Day after day, there needs to be an awareness, there needs to be an accountability of who we are and what we are doing. But it's not only the matter of the subtlety of sin, but turn back with me to Colossians chapter 4. He says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent to you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. The second aspect in terms of the need of accountability is not simply the subtlety of sin and the negative side, but it's the positive side, that when there is the accountable relationship, there's the opportunity for encouragement, the opportunity to help a person to go along in doing the right things and to be strengthened in that. God is doing great things in answer to your prayers. And you like to hear that. You like to be aware of that. This past week, I had opportunity one day to see a friend, and he was on a Skype call with his children. And he had not had any opportunity. He had been forbidden to have, through a difficult situation, he had been forbidden to have any contact with his children in 3 months. He had not been allowed. His estranged wife had said no. And one of the things that several of us had prayed strategically for last week was that God would do something and that there would be an intervention that he would be able to have contact with his family. Well, on Friday, when I saw this man and I asked him, were you speaking with your children the other day? And he says, yes, he says, it was the first time in 3 months. And I was able to turn and say to him, that is something that we strategically had prayed for. Now, did that encourage him? You had better believe it. Did that encourage me and those of us who had been praying? And the answer is yes. There's that aspect where Paul says, I've sent him that he might know what's going on with you, but also to encourage you, to comfort your hearts. But it's also the matter in terms of the eternal investment that we are making. Lives are at stake for eternity. And it's necessary that we continue to follow through and say, Lord, what is it that you're doing? How can we participate? And what is the thing that you are working out at this very time? Now, the whole idea of a missionary letter, the idea of a prayer request list, is something that was started by a man named James Frazier. He was a missionary to the Lisu people in, of all places, China. And he was writing back to his home in the United Kingdom, and he was asking people to pray for the ministry. And the book Mountain Rain is a book well worth reading, and it will stir your heart in terms of missionary activity and missionary responsibility. But in that, he recruited people that they would pray for him, and then he would send reports back to them on what was happening. And that was the start, the launch of the whole idea of missionary letters, of missionary reports going back to a team of people recruited to pray. Every Sunday evening, there's one pastor in Argentina that sends out a letter, an update of his activity and how things have gone that day. I've tried to do that on a monthly basis with a team of people in the United States and other parts of the world who are praying for the ministry here in London, and to try to report back to them and say, here are areas, here are the things that the Lord is doing, and so on. That whole idea, I'm indebted to James Frazier, a man who launched that, a long time ago. But here's where I want to challenge you as a congregation. It begins with the leadership, and the leadership needs to be involved in that. But oftentimes, I find that in local churches, the matter of praying for missions and for missionaries is relegated or delegated to the women. And so, there's a women's fellowship and a women's group, and so they gather and, hey ladies, how about if you pray for the missionaries? Well, that's good, and that's wise for them to do. But it's not limited to the women. It ought to be something that everybody is doing. And it ought to be the kind of thing that we start early, of teaching the little children of the importance of missions and of praying for missionaries and of the work of investing in eternal dividends. John McCrae was a son of a Bible Presbyterian pastor, Alan McCrae, told of seeing two missionaries that were single ladies going out under the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions, the Bible Presbyterian Church. And they had come back from Asia. And as they had come back from Asia, he was a little boy about the same age as Tobias. And he went to them, and he had tithed of his allowance that his parents had given to him. And he had a handful of coins, and he took it and gave it to those two missionaries. Those missionaries didn't simply say, oh, well, kid, what are you doing with this? No, no, they understood something big was happening here. And they took that money, and they thanked John for having done that. John, at this time in his life, is in his later 60s. Do you know where John is today? John and his wife, after pastoring for many years in the United States, are in Australia as missionaries, helping in some very needy areas. I have to believe that an element of that was started when John was a little boy, the age of Tobias, and he was being encouraged to invest in missions. And there came a time where he was challenged of saying, John, how about if you would go? And he and his wife said, off we go. The matter of accountability is what the Apostle Paul is writing about in verses 7, 8, and 9. So he says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. It is a two-way street. Reporting what's happening in the ministries outside, but also that there might be the information exchange, but the opportunity for encouragement and to strengthen those who have gone to serve. Timothy Toe used to say, many sons starve a father. And the idea was that if you have lots of children who are going out, but if they are only on the area of saying, give, 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 and they're not looking to what they're looking about what they can do to give back or to encourage, it starves. But on the other side, when children go out and they care about those who have sent them, then that strengthens and builds. And so today, I come and here I am from another part of the world, here in London. And yet there are people today in various congregations in the United States that will be praying for this church and for this ministry because they have had a part in saying, helping to train me up and to send me forth and to send us in order to help out. There are ministries that this church needs to be encouraging, supporting, feeding back information to, of saying, here's what's happening and here's what you can do to pray for us. Accountability. It's not an attractive thing. It's a necessary thing. And ultimately, it is a wonderful thing to help us in the body of Christ. Let us pray. Ultimately, Lord, we will one day stand before you and give account of our lives. We are sinners by nature and by choice. And we thank you for those that have preached the gospel to us that we might know you and that we might live in fellowship with you. O Lord, I pray that this ministry will be an abiding testimony of gospel-centered ministry, where we will continue to reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ and help that that testimony might be established and strengthened around the world. But we pray that you would build your church here in Queen's Park, and I pray that we might be accountable to one another, we might be accountable to you for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.